Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the third edition of True Reporting on the Gulf Oil Spill. This is Emily Harris in Central Arkansas, making my disclaimer again. Although I am a state government employee funded by federal dollars, everything that I say is my own opinion, my own views, and not the views of my employer. So that being said, Greg Hall is our host. He comes to us live from Pensacola, Florida, and shares his real-life experiences on a day-to-day basis with the oil spill, how it's affected his and his neighbors' lives. We had an excellent show last night. We're going to try to do this for you as many nights as we can at 9 o'clock right here. The call-in number has been the same. I hope it stays that way to make it easier for you all. He has posted a lot of new photos and videos and been talking to the media on a regular basis. He's been doing interviews as much as he possibly can, doing everything he can to get information about this critical situation out and to you. He's asked that we share this information with everybody we know. It's on our Facebook pages. Please take it and post it to your friends' page, your friends' friends' page. Share the information. People really don't know. It's not that Americans don't care. It's just that they're uninformed. We appreciate the opportunity to have this vehicle to share information with you on Blog Talk Radio. The downloads for the player are available on my page. You can pick it up. You can listen to the previous episodes. You'll be able to listen to this one this evening after we're done, and the others, they're all stored and available for download. You can grab those and share those with your friends as well, too. Greg always has lots to share about what's happening there. I think he's gotten out and been to some of the neighboring beaches this weekend, so he should have information about some of his neighboring areas as well. Santa Rosa was in the news. The spill continues to worsen. The effects on the environment continue to worsen. There is no easy end in sight for this situation. Last night, we had callers and chatters from all over the country. We were carried on a New Orleans live music radio station, so we were shared in New Orleans as well. We had lots of comments from lots of folks, lots of questions, people wanting to know more specifically about what's actually happening. We talked about the decontamination stations, which, as far as Greg knew, were just the beach showers or, just the regular cleanup stations that are now being called decontamination stations. We talked about the ponies and balloons, which is the title that the official cleanup crews are calling the production that they create whenever there are officials or news media around to make it look like there's a full crew cleaning all the time. But in actuality, they seem to be very sparse, very few and far between, and they do just limited amount of cleanup or cover-up, and then they're gone. So there's a ton of work that still needs to be done. One of our chatters, they mentioned last night in Louisiana that they were trying to get hired on as part of the cleanup crew, and that they were told that there was a waiting list of Louisianans trying to get hired of over 13,000. People waiting to be hired. From what I understand, there's a large amount of Spanish-speaking workers, and that there's been a contingent of Vietnamese actually brought into the country to work on this effort. So the impression is that the cleanup jobs are really not helping support the local economy because so many of those positions are going to people from out of state or out of country even. The locals are not necessarily being hired for these positions. From what I can tell from the video, personal protective equipment is not being distributed or worn as much as the environmental sampling levels would suggest that it needs to be. That's an issue. Well, here's Greg. Let me bring him into the air. Good evening, Greg.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm just a tad bit late. I've got the guys from the Gulf Oil Spill Project documentary here, and we just came back from about a two-hour hike on the beach, so they're still a little bit behind me. They're about half my age, but they can't keep up.
Well, you are a tough one, aren't you? You have to be, or else you wouldn't be able to keep up the schedule that you have. I understand that you're up early and to bed late every day.
I really don't have a choice at this point, you know. I mean, I got to do what I got to do. So, you know, I'll get a little rest this weekend. You know, I'll take a nap here and there.
Well, that's good. Those little power naps are great. They've gotten me through a lot of years, too. I do have the chat window open, and we do have a few guests online already.
Well, cool.
Hello.
Anybody that's got any questions, just let me know, and I'll do my best to answer them you know, as good as I can for you.
There aren't any questions at this time, but I'm sure we'd all like to hear a little bit more about your activities today.
Well, we were just out walking, and these guys just came in from being in Louisiana for about a week or so, and they've experienced a lot of bad stuff down there, and I'm going to try to get some pictures up to you guys in a little bit. They actually had a picture of a dolphin that got pulled out of the water down there. It's just hideous. I mean, you know, you could see oil coming out of its mouth. You know, it was dead, of course, but they had a lot of horror stories about stuff going on down there, and they were very shocked at what the beach looks like here because they came through here first before they went down to Louisiana, so they were here before all the stuff hit, and the beach was all white and pretty and everything, and they were just amazed at the difference, you know. So it's a pretty cool thing. They're all from L.A., and they've been filming a documentary about the effects of the oil spill and a lot of stuff about, you know, what's going on with all the blackout from the media, and they were telling me that they encountered a lot of military presence down there where they were at, and that really, you know, scared a lot of them, and they interviewed a lot of citizens and stuff down there, and you know, even the citizens down there were saying how, you know, if this is the way that we treat people in other countries, I can see why they hate us. You know, I mean, they were very, very upset about the way things are going down there. So, you know, I guess I'm just kind of throwing that out there just for everybody to be aware that if that's going on over there, then there's a good likelihood that when it gets bad over here, it's going to be the same way. So you guys need to be prepared for that. This weekend, I plan on tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and do my normal beach report like I do over here on Pensacola Beach, and then we're probably going to head east and go down to I'll probably stop and check out Navarre and then check out Okaloosa Island and Destin on my way to Santa Rosa Beach because Santa Rosa Beach got hit real hard yesterday. So I'm going to try to give you guys reports from three or four different areas tomorrow. So that ought to be good stuff.
I think it'll be good to document your neighboring beaches as well. That's good that you're going to make that extra trip. Who exactly did you say it was? Which media outlet is represented from the folks you were with today?
Well, they are running a group called the Gulf Oil Spill Project, and you can find them on YouTube under Gulf Oil Spill Project, I think is what their YouTube username is. They contacted me this morning. Evidently, somebody from one of our groups sent them a message on Facebook, and they were saying how they haven't even checked their Facebook in a week, and he just felt like he needed to check his Facebook this morning, and he checked it, and there was a message there from somebody telling him that they needed to contact me, and and I just happened to take a minute to go through my YouTube messages, you know, which, as you well know, Emily, I have a really hard time keeping up with that stuff, but I just happened to check it, and I saw his thing there requesting that I give him a call, and I called him, and they came on over. And then Dave Crosby called me whenever I was just walking in the house from work earlier and told me that James Fox wants to meet up with me this weekend. So got a lot of stuff really happening fast, you know, so everything that everybody's doing, getting the word out and getting contacts out there and everything, it's really working and people are contacting me and making things happen. So I just want to throw that out to everybody that I really appreciate it because, I mean, everybody keeps asking me, what can you do to help me? You know, I'm in Michigan, and I'm in Connecticut, I'm in Wisconsin, I'm wherever, and the best thing you can do to help me is just send my pictures and videos and send everything that I have out to everybody that you can send it out to, you know, because, you know, everybody can help. I mean, I have people in China, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, the Netherlands, Holland, all over the world that are spreading the word around for me, so anybody can do that. You know, you guys, you know, you don't have to be down here in the trenches, so to speak, you know, walking the beach with me to help. I mean, you can spread the word around.
Well, I think people are really hungry for the truth. I think that they're finally starting to wake up and catch on a little bit that so much of the media reports that they're showing mainstream America don't really cover the truth story.
Well, listen, let me do something for you guys, okay? Let me put Gavin from the group on for you guys and let him tell you a little bit about what they've been doing in Louisiana, and I'm going to help the other guys. They all just got caught in a storm, so I'm going to help them get dried off real quick and everything and let Gavin talk to you real quick, okay?
Thank you. Welcome, Gavin. We're glad you're with
Hi.
Us tonight.
Yeah, awesome. Nice to be with you. How are you?
Great. Glad to be here. Greg said that you would have some personal stories to share with us about your activities today.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been all over the place. We just got back from New Orleans, where we were for a few days, and we've made a few trips to Grand Isle. And let me tell you, it's scary down there. With all the boom on the beaches and the military running around, it's like a different country.
I've had reports that it feels sort of like a third world country. It's hard not to imagine that it's science fiction.
That's exactly how I felt. It doesn't feel real.
What sort of situation did you find the local community people, the people that live there, you know, how did you find them to be? Were they out and about at all?
No, it was stark and empty. We went out onto a few sections of the beach there, and it's just completely, you know, for miles in either direction, just completely empty, and it's like a it's like a demilitarized zone. It's just
well, in your opinion, are people already starting to pack and leave on their own?
I have in a few of the interviews we've done, I know that what people are doing as for Grand Isle specifically. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. For absolutely sure, there's no one taking out those vacation rentals and eating at the restaurant.
Well, let me ask you this. In your opinion, Grand Isle was one of the hardest hit areas so far, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm guessing that's the worst of the worst. And so you're saying that all the vacation rentals are empty. Are the stores open for business?
Yeah, everyone's open for business. And one of the main hotels down there actually has their no vacancy sign up, which we thought was a bit of a joke, but maybe it's the case, or maybe there's a bunch of Coast Guard in there. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, I guess I have to sleep somewhere, too. But at restaurants are open. What about food? Is there food in the grocery stores?
Yeah, there's a supermarket there that we went in, and there's a little restaurant we ate at called Sarah's, and it seemed for a moment to be business as usual. You wouldn't be able to tell otherwise, except there's tables of Coast Guard and other workers with BP badges on sitting all around you.
So you were sort of the odd person out. I take it there's not too many tourists.
It's kind of weird. Everywhere we go, I guess we stick out like sore thumbs. We're making attempts to blend in, but we get leers and kind of sideways looks everywhere we sit down. So despite our efforts to be nondescript, I think we look out of place.
So, well, because you said they're mostly military, and you're definitely not military, or you said they're workers. Can you describe what the workers look like a little bit? Now, I've heard that there aren't very many local people employed locally as cleanup workers. Is that true?
That was our understanding. When we first got down here, we tried to talk to a few of them on the beach, and they're extremely wary when you approach them and do not want to be talked to. But the few answers we got were the people we talked to on the beach in, I think it was Gulf Shores, were from Mobile. But we've heard that they're being trucked in from all kinds of places. And a guy we talked to down in Grand Isle was talking about the prisoner release program and saying that a lot of the workers who were there were multiple count felons, which he was not happy about, and he was saying was really destroying community.
Wait a minute. Time out. You said multiple count felons on prison worker release programs are the imported cleanup workers?
Yes.
So they're not American felons, they're felons from another country.
Oh, no, not imported. They're domestic, as far as I know.
Well, I'm sure you didn't ask for identification. I don't mean to really pressure you, but I'm just trying to get an understanding because I thought the local people were going to be hired to participate in some of this cleanup effort, but yet I've heard a number of different sources now telling me that there's a large contingency of Hispanics and of Vietnamese.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Coming in from out of state or out of area?
Out of country.
Oh, out of country.
Yes, international cleanup workers. But So
that's
felons from the prison there in Texas?
I'm sorry?
You said that some of the workers were prison release. I'm trying to, which prison were they released from?
Matt, do you know what prison or what county those workers were coming from, the prisoner release?
Mobile.
They're from Mobile. Mobile is the consensus on that one.
So I guess that's the 2010 chain gang. Go clean up toxic waste. Wow.
I can't imagine how they advertise that one.
So what's the absolute most outrageous thing you've seen?
The absolute most outrageous thing we've seen. Oh man, that's a tough one. I'd have to say that. Well, maybe it's not the most outrageous, but the most chilling was a convoy of Humvees rolling down the street in the main thoroughway in Grand Isle there. That was a sight. It looks like it's under martial law.
Have you ever been in a situation like that before?
I have not. I'm not looking forward to being in one.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky, blessed to be in Washington, D.C., September the 11th, and I experienced that same thing. It's very unnerving to see American military taking offense to you because you're like an American citizen in America, so why would American soldiers be pointing their weapons at you other than the fact that you were doing something that they were told you shouldn't do? So as a member of the press, have you been threatened or removed from an area or told you needed to get back?
No, when we were speaking with the BP workers on the beach, we had a couple of supervisors come down and very sternly ask us to leave and step away. And we've had a few vehicles with government plates follow us around for a little bit of time, but there hasn't been anything too serious. I know today with the 65-foot rule and the fines, it might be changing a little bit.
So binoculars would be a good idea, like bird watching, right? You
yeah, we're going to have to get the telephoto lens, though.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, sorry.
Okay.
Are y'all dropping off? Sorry?
Are you all dried off now?
Oh, we made it to our car in time. I think the rest of them are still working. Here, I can hand you back to Greg, though, just one second.
All right.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back.
I thought you'd appreciate, hearing the perspective of someone, that's seen what's going on down there in Louisiana and stuff, so... Anybody got any questions? Go ahead.
Do you know if CNN is going to report on the trucked in sand?
I don't know, but I mean, these guys just walked the beach with me and they agreed, they could see it. They could see the difference. We did a really pretty incredible comparison, because I picked up some of the sand from one of the piles that was obviously a different type of sand and a totally different color. And then I walked up into the dune line and grabbed a handful of the sugar sand, and they shot, a pan up close up of me holding a handful of each kind of sand, and they were just mind blown. They were like calling everybody over, and I'm like, look at this, look at the difference, and I took them all the way down to the end of the beach where the public beach ends and the national park starts, and showed them the difference where it's just all piled up on the public beach, and then when you get into the national park, it's totally flat. And they were like, anybody can see that, and what blows my mind is, like, if you have a murder, you don't have to have film footage of somebody being shot. They use ballistics and everything else and forensics, and they prove the murder by that, and I don't understand why you can't come out here to the beach and see the sand piled up everywhere, see tire tracks everywhere, see different kinds of sand that's what natural that belongs on the beach, and not be able to conclude that sand was put on the beach. And especially when you take my video from Monday night and compare it to the video from Tuesday morning, it's just blatantly obvious. Helen Keller could see it, and she's blind, deaf, and dead. I don't get it.
Are those videos time-stamped? Like, do you have the date and time you took them attached with the pictures?
Well, they were uploaded, at the time that it happened. I upload them straight from my iPhone. So the time that they hit YouTube and the time that they hit Facebook is when it happened.
We should probably create a long-term album, like a document of yours. I understand that they're still saved online, but I wonder if maybe we had somebody that could volunteer to do that.
Well, all of my files, have they automatically have that built into them. So everything that's saved on my computer has a date and time on it.
We should save it in multiple locations, though, because you are a unique asset to this effort, and we need to preserve your work at all costs. So,
I'm going to give these guys a copy. I'm going to download a copy onto some CDs and DVDs. I'm meeting with a big attorney in town next week, and I'm giving them a DVD of everything that I've got so far. So, I'm protecting the information, so, like I've told you guys before, if something were to happen to me, I don't want everything that I've done to be in vain. So I'm making sure that it gets up, and I'm making sure I'm going to play around with Ustream tonight. So hopefully everything that I do tomorrow will be live, and I've got it tied into the Facebook. So, and I've got a new page that I'm going to be introducing you guys to, because those people that want to back me and support me and what I'm doing created a new page and they created the Ustream account and everything. So I'll be hooking you guys up to all of that tomorrow before we go out and start doing all this stuff. So you'll be able to see things live streaming on Ustream.
Tell us their name again, Greg. Who are they?
I'm sorry.
The new page. What's the name of the new page?
I'm going to have to get it to you later because, I mean, I don't even remember it. And my internet, for some reason, I guess because we got this massive storm on us right now tonight, my internet is just super slow. But I'll get it out to you guys in the morning. And
that is a question. What's the storm like? What's the wind doing?
Well, it's just a big thunderstorm that just came out of the Gulf, you know, and it's blowing real hard out of the southeast. And that's the reason why Santa Rosa Beach got hit so hard yesterday, because this big, huge, massive, I guess for better words, the oil slick or whatever is just right off the coast. So I would imagine we're probably going to have, some pretty wicked stuff tomorrow. But the guys are also going to film us walking over to the beach in the morning. So you guys will be able to see, you know, that it's a very short walk for me. It's only a couple hundred yards from my condo. So there again, also for all those people on YouTube that have been talking crap and saying that I jump in an SUV to go to the beach, you know, they're going to be able to see me leaving my condo and walking over to the beach. So that's really cool that these guys are here. You know, I mean, I love it.
Do they think you drive a Hummer too?
I have no idea. You know, I mean, it's like that animated radio guy. You know, I was telling these guys about him, you know, because that video that I shot tonight on the beach, man, I mean, was that incredible or what? I mean, the water is just boiling and fizzing, and they were just freaking out, you know. And I said, yeah, I said, this guy calls himself animated radio, tells everybody that I go down there and throw dry ice in the ocean, and they started laughing.
That'd be an awful lot of dry ice. But actually, you know, that's methane crystals, right? Isn't that what they think
What Nick Doms, the guy that's from, I think he's from Belgium, the guy that's been writing all those articles, that he knows an awful lot about Corexit and methane, and he thinks that it's a combination of the Corexit and methane, and the activity of the surf is just like activating it and making it, you know, bubble and fizz like it's doing, you know. And I mean, I'm no chemist, so I can't tell you for sure, but I mean, that's what other people are telling me that, you know, seem to have the knowledge about it.
Well, it definitely is some sort of chemical reaction.
Those absolutely.
Rainbow foam just, I mean, it's like looking at the car wash goo, right? It's just...
Well, you know, I mean, it's just like last night whenever, I mean, I don't know if any of you guys saw my buddy David Hollifield. He's a surfer that I grew up surfing with here, and he was, you know, shouting out at me on Facebook last night saying, bro, don't go in the water. I love you like a brother. That stuff will kill you. Don't go in the water. You know, and he saw it, and he recognized it, and, you know, he was seeing it, you know, from the picture that I sent up. You know, I mean,
Well, do you have some rubber boots? I'd feel better if you put on boots and gloves when you went out there.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for everybody, okay? Whenever we go out tomorrow morning, I'll have Gavin film me walking into Walmart and buying some waders or something, so you guys can see that I'll have protective stuff, right? So then everybody will stop worrying and everybody will stop being a surrogate mom, and I'll, you know, have them filming me wearing some protective stuff.
That's good. We need you to last as long as you possibly can, because I know you're not going to leave there. You're going to go down. You're just going to stay there and fight. And so if you start to protect yourself a little bit with some of this personal protective equipment, I think that you'll be able to stay healthy longer. That's why we do it. So I'm glad to hear at Walmart
and
tomorrow.
To let you guys know also, when I put that shout out about the kayak, it's so funny. Michelle McCafferty responded to me and sent me her phone number, and I called her, and we started talking, and they're going to let me borrow this kayak that they have. And as we were talking, I said, what's your husband's name? And she said, well, his name's Mark. And I said, I went to school with Mark. And then she put him on the phone, and he and I haven't talked to each other since high school. You know,
small
I mean,
world.
It's so wild.
Small world. Well, I found that
so
to be
I'm
true. When you meet a person, sometimes they appear.
Well,
you
know,
you're going out of contact? What are you going to do with the product?
Well, as soon as the surf dies down, I'm going to go out in the Gulf in it, you know, and go out a couple miles and get out there and get, you know, into the stuff where I can get real close and get you guys some footage and show you what's really going on out there. And also, I'm going to get into the, you know, the coastal areas and the bays and the sound and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm just going to get you guys a lot of footage that you're not seeing anywhere else. So that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I want to give you guys everything that I can give you that you're not seeing on the news, you know.
And they're not. They're you know, they're not showing the whole scene. We've heard that pony and balloon statement now a couple of times. I always thought it was a dog and pony show, but I guess they changed the wording a little bit. Pony.
Well, that's
balloon.
What I call it. I call it a dog and pony show. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, I can't count on the mainstream media. I mean, I know CNN played a little, you know, 10 or 15 seconds or whatever tonight, you know, but whatever. I mean, I'm not counting on them to do anything. I mean, I'm counting on indies like these guys that are here with me. You know, I'm counting on you guys.
There's a lot of
getting,
people all over the country
know,
praying for you, Greg, absolutely supporting every breath you take, knowing that your efforts affect us all. The only way we're ever going to get a handle on this, any kind of response, we're going to have to listen to your voice of experience, yours and the others that are there with you, so determined to share this information that the American people are finally starting to get a little bit of, and that hopefully, I can't believe that it won't be just a very short time before they go to Washington and pound on the White House doors and say, we must have something different. We must have something different.
Well, you know, I mean, that's why I keep putting out there that, you know, because every day on Facebook I'm having multiple people asking me over and over and over again, what can I do, what can I do, what can I do? And like I said earlier when we first started the show, it's very simple. I mean, all you have to do is go pull my albums from my personal Facebook page, pull them from the True Reporting on Gulf Oil Spill page, pull my videos off of YouTube, you know, just share everything I have with everybody you know and every place you know. And like everybody today was starting to send letters out to their local media, you know, just pound them, you know. I mean, just get on people as much as you can, you know, and eventually our voice is going to be heard, you know. I mean, this thing started like I messaged earlier today. I mean, it started with me, you know, and then Diana's helped me out. You know, she's been out here 2 or 3 times, you know, in the last month with me, and there's been, you know, all you guys, I mean, it started as a grassroots movement, and it's just really picking up momentum. And now, you know, we're getting people calling us from all over the place. You know, I mean, now these guys called me and came in. They're going to hang out with me for the weekend. James Fox is supposed to come in this weekend and get with me. You know, we got some other big things going on that I really can't tell you guys about yet until it's actually factual. But there's some really big things that are going on, and it's all because you guys are getting the word out and people are contacting me, because I don't have time to call people and contact people, and you know, people are calling me. So it's all from you guys. You know, I mean, I'm just going out and doing what I do.
This is a great option for you to be able to share information with us all. It saved time. It's a wonderful network. Do you know anything about any plans or programs to try and safely remove any wildlife, to move, you know, the unaffected animals, to keep? I know that there is some federal grant money for the Delta states to put in wintering grounds for migratory birds along the river.
I haven't seen anything like that. I mean, you know, I haven't seen anything like that around here. And, I mean, you know, every time I go out, if I see something, I shoot it for you guys. You know, I shoot the footage and show you, you know, like that small heron that I saw the other day. I think it was yesterday, maybe. I mean, you got to forgive me on the days, because my days are running together now. But, you know,
so
when
nobody
I see stuff, I... Go ahead.
And life, like, out of the park or anything. Nobody's trying to move that.
No.
Lots of compliments.
But I am noticing
out.
A lot of really weird stuff going on, you know, like yesterday morning, or what was it? No, last night, when I saw the seagulls, and I think I uploaded those pictures, there's like probably close to 100 seagulls that were standing way up by the dunes, and they're normally right down on the shoreline. And then when I went out this morning and saw the park rangers, the seagulls were in the same spot that they'd been. They were there all night. I think they're just confused because they don't know where to go and get something to eat, you know, because there's oil and everything all down on the shoreline, and, you know, that's where they normally go to eat, and they're just, you know, confused.
Do you know if anybody is getting sick in the Pensacola area like they have over in Louisiana?
Well, I know after last weekend they had 400 people reported checking into the hospital with some kind of sickness from getting in the water. So, you know, their plans of opening up the beach last weekend backfired on them, you know. And
but the beaches were open weekend.
Well, they covered up the pollution signs, just like I showed you guys. I mean, I videoed it and took pictures and showed you guys. They covered up the pollution warning signs with black plastic bags and told everybody the beach was fine.
There's so much information that goes through the Facebook pages. Sometimes it's hard to catch it all, and maybe not everybody listening. We have a long line of listeners tonight. Maybe not everybody listening knows what actually happened. You said that they went out and they posted the beaches as being unsafe to swim, and then on that weekend they came and just covered the signs and allowed people to swim if they wanted to. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And so are the beaches
on Monday morning? The signs were back uncovered, so the water was safe to swim in for Saturday and Sunday, but then all of a sudden Monday it was unsafe again, when the fact of the matter is it was never safe to begin with.
Well, I'll buy the never safe to begin with, but a lot of times the lab reports don't run over the weekend because people aren't in the lab, you know, they're especially government.
Well, there were no lab reports done. That was all a lie. You know, the whole thing of opening the beaches up was based upon Buck Lee, the head of the Santa Rosa Island Authority. He's the one that told everybody that on his physical observation that the water was fine and that they could go in the water.
There were no tests done prior to?
No.
How scary. So are the beaches open now?
No.
The beaches are closed. Nobody's allowed to swim right now.
Well, they're not telling anyone that by law that you can't go in the water. They're just telling everyone you shouldn't go in the water.
So if somebody wanted to, they could go swim.
Yeah, they're not going to arrest them for going in the water, but they're telling them they shouldn't.
We saw videos of, like, little kids playing in the water. Is that still happening?
Yeah, there was two people in the water when I was down there just a little while ago.
Little kids?
No, they were probably in their 20s, I guess. But I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the video I uploaded from the beach tonight, but I mean, that water is just boiling and bubbling and fizzing, and you know, even the guys that are with me here tonight, I mean, they looked at it and they were just like, "Oh my God," you know. And I mean, it's just obvious, you know. I mean, you don't have to be a chemist or, you know, a chemical engineer or whatever to see that that's just not normal. I mean,
I have a post about two deaths today at Pensacola Beach.
What's that?
Two deaths today at Pensacola Beach. A post on the chat line. I think maybe it's just a hoax. Could it be true? Did you hear about two deaths at Pensacola Beach today?
Emily, I haven't had a chance to. I haven't stopped to see anything. I mean, as soon as I pulled into my driveway, Dave Crosby was calling me about James Fox, and then these guys were on their way here, and as soon as they got here, you know, I was actually walking down to the beach when they pulled in, and then as soon as I walked in the door, I called you. So, I mean, I have not stopped for anything. You know, matter of fact, as soon as we get done with the radio show, we're going to go get something to eat because I haven't eaten anything all day either.
Well, according to this, there was a child and then an adult that both drowned today.
Well, the surf is really rough, so if they went in the water, I mean, it's not chemical related. I'm sure it's from the surf because the surf is really rough and there's bad ripped currents and everything else. So if
it's
somebody went in the water, that's probably what it's from.
Is the oil being pushed up farther inland by the storm?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's right here. I mean, like I said, with the wind coming out of the southeast and there's a big, huge, if you look on the GOMEX.NOAA, I can't remember the rest of it, but the site that the government set up for the tracking of the oil spill, the biggest part of it runs from the Chandelier Islands all the way over to just south of Panama City, and these thunderstorms and winds that are coming out of the southeast are pushing it straight towards us, and that's why Santa Rosa Beach got hit yesterday, and I would not be surprised at all if Destin gets hit tomorrow or Sunday, and Navarre, and then us again, you know, with the really big, heavy stuff. So I'm going to be giving that guy, I'm going to be giving all that stuff to you guys because, like I said, with me having the weekend off, I'm just going to run the coast, and I'm going to report from every area that I can get to and let you guys see what's happening as it happens, and hopefully I'll have the Ustream set up so that, you know, you guys will be getting it live, and I'll send you guys that new page first thing as soon as I get it, and you guys will be able to keep up with everything.
There's so much going on. It really is hard to keep up. Are you seeing any or very many tourists?
Tourism's really way, way down. I would say they're probably at like 50% occupancy of what they normally are. I mean,
other than that,
course,
is it business as usual?
What's that?
Is it business as usual? Are all the shops open? The grocery stores stocked? You can buy beer?
Yeah,
if you
all
want.
Of that. All of that's open. I mean, you're not seeing a whole lot of people on the beach. I mean, and usually when I'm out there, especially in the morning, when I'm out there in the morning, there isn't anybody out there but me. I mean, when I'm finishing my walk in the mornings, there might be, at the very end, the BP workers start coming in, like you guys saw in my report that I did this morning, you know, right there at the end of my walk, you know, there were some BP workers setting up. And I actually have some more photographs to upload from this morning that I took with my waterproof camera of the BP workers under the tents and stuff like that. But other than that, there's usually nobody else out there with me. It's usually just me by myself. And I tell you an eerie experience we had tonight, though. When we were coming back from our walk in the park, I don't know who it was, but there was somebody up with these big, huge, powerful beacon lights that spotlighted us and followed us the whole way back. I mean, and these lights were so bright that, I mean, we were probably, I would say, 3/4 of a mile from them, and their lights were still on us. So there was somebody watching us. And, you know, they had these big light beams. So they're watching me. There was just one to start with, and then another one came up there, and they had these two big bright lights on us the whole way back, you know, and they kept the lights on us until we hit the crossover.
The times are a-changing. It's not ever going to go back to the way it used to be.
No, Karen Sue messaged me earlier tonight, and she told me that she had been talking to somebody that was telling her, you know, they were like in their 20s or whatever, and they were very optimistic, and they thought that in a few years everything would be back to normal. And she asked me, she said, "Greg, will you please tell me what you think?" And she said, "Do you think it's ever going to be back to normal?" And I said, "No, it's not." you know, and I said, you know, what happened in Nigeria is the same thing that's happening here, and that's why we're seeing a blackout, and we're seeing that they don't want to let the word out because they don't want the rest of the world and the rest of the country see what is really happening on the Gulf Coast. And what's happened in Louisiana and Mississippi and in Gulf Shores, and that's going to happen where we're at. And like I was telling these guys, if not before, from a tropical storm or whatever, when the fronts come across the Gulf in September and October, as they do, moving from the west, and they move across the Gulf at, you know, 40, 50 miles an hour, it's going to push all of that stuff all the way down the entire coast of Florida, and you're going to see Clearwater, Sarasota, Venice, Naples, all of those places. You're going to see the 10,000 islands, the Keys, everything is going to be covered with this stuff. And then it's going to get into the Gulf Stream, and it's going to go up the Atlantic coast. It's going to be in the Bahamas. As the dispersants and chemicals get picked up by tropical systems and get pulled up in through the country, the stuff's going to be all over the country, and eventually it's going to be all over the planet. And that's why I keep telling people it's a global problem. You know, some of you guys are having problems with people telling you, why do you keep posting stuff about the Gulf? You know, why are you all about the Gulf? And, you know, these people, even, I don't care if you're in Minnesota, I don't care if you're in Maine, Massachusetts, Connecticut, wherever, this is eventually going to affect you. And for you to think that just because it's down here in the Gulf that it doesn't matter to you, it matters.
It matters to me. I'm sure it matters to a lot of these callers and writers. They've got so many comments to make and are so thankful of what you're doing. So there was a question from one. You said that the beach was really empty. Is it usually this time of year where you live? You say you live near a state park. Are you in a rural area where there usually isn't much traffic, or is this unusual?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, this time of the year, it's usually shoulder to shoulder, you know. I mean, it's usually shoulder to shoulder out here on the beach this time of year, especially 4th of July weekend. I mean, it's usually just slammed. So, yeah, there's a huge impact over here.
I have a posting that someone tried to book a room but wasn't able to, that the hotel said that they were full.
Yeah, well, they're full of BP workers. I mean, it's not tourists.
Okay. That
I mean,
makes
they're,
sense.
Like the Holiday Inn Express over here, there's probably 20 or 30 fish and wildlife trucks sitting out front there. You know, I mean, they have a lot of EPA and fish and wildlife and you know, BP workers, you know, I mean, they've got those kind of people that are filling up all the rooms. It's not tourists.
Does the air have a strange smell to you, Greg?
Yes, definitely. Especially last night when I was walking the beach, I should have said something about it in my video. It was very heavy and very acidic. And the guys that are here with me, they said that they could notice a really strong smell out on the beach tonight, but, I mean, because I've been out there walking in it, you know, 5 or 6 hours a day every day for the last month, I mean, I just don't even smell it anymore, you know. But they said that they smelled a strong smell out there tonight. Did you guys see the picture that I uploaded that they took of me standing in that big, huge spot of oil?
I haven't seen it yet, but you say, is it posted to Facebook?
It was posted to my page because I uploaded it from my phone. Let me refresh my page and see if it made it up there.
Okay, because we might want to reload that. Question, what you're smelling, are you having burning? Are your eyes itching, watering, sore throat, that sort of thing?
I had the other day when it was really, really bad out, I had a sore throat and my chest felt kind of heavy and stuff, but I've been okay today. the biggest thing I think I've noticed is when I first come out, if I go in the water, when I first come out of the water for a couple of hours, you know, I have kind of a burning sensation on my ankles and my shins and stuff where I've waded into the water. And that's the biggest thing I think I've noticed as far as effects from what I've been doing.
And you're going to Walmart tomorrow to get boots, so all of your surrogate mothers and grandmothers will quit being worried about
Yes,
your...
I'm going to Walmart to get boots, and they're going to videotape it so we can show you guys that I went to Walmart and got boots.
Yay. So what about your drinking water? Do you drink water out of the tap, the kitchen faucet, or do you drink bottled water?
I mean, really, I drink a lot of juice and stuff like that, and right now I'm actually having a nice cold Yuengling.
Not my favorite.
Yeah.
That's a great way to get your That's a great way to get your water. But no, seriously, did you drink water out of the tap before this happened?
Yeah. I mean, it was totally safe, you know. I mean, I've been told that it's not safe now, so
Well, that's
not officially. I mean, nobody officially has said that, but I've had other, you know, people tell me that that's probably not a good idea. So I'm not.
Well, are you noticing any kind of odors or colors in your drinking water?
No, I haven't seen anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tomorrow your schedule is. You're going to get up and give us the daily report, and then you're going to have a long day, aren't you?
Yeah, we're gonna get up early, and like I said, they're going to video walking across from the condo so you guys can see where I live and see how short of a walk it is over. And what I'll probably do is have them also pan over to the sound so you guys can see how close the Santa Rosa Sound is to me. And then we'll walk over to the Gulf, and we'll do the report on the Gulf. And we'll also, of course, video me going into Walmart and buying the waders so you guys can stop worrying about me. And then we'll probably head down to Navarre because that's on the same island. It's called Santa Rosa Island. So Navarre is at the other end of the island. We'll probably take the island road down that way and hit Navarre first, and then we'll stop at the Navarre Walmart and then go down to Okaloosa Island, and then we'll go to Destin, and then we'll go to Santa Rosa Beach. So that's all like straight in a row. It's about Santa Rosa Beach is probably about an hour from here. So you guys will be getting reports the whole time. And like I said, hopefully I'll be able to figure out and make sure that Ustream is working right. It's supposed to be working straight from my iPhone, so I'll play around with that and make sure it's working right. And that way you guys will be able to see things live as it's happening.
That means a lot to know that you're out there on the front lines for us, recording and sharing what's happening as it's happening. You'll be with
Well, you know, I mean, I really had a blowout with one of the people from CNN earlier today because they had sent me a couple messages asking me why I didn't post on the blog, the iReport blog yesterday and all this. And I told him, I said, look, you know, I told you the other day whenever you were talking to me that I don't have time for that, and that if you guys would assign someone to me and give me like an FTP to upload files to, then I'll upload my files and you guys can post the information for me. I said, but you know, I'm getting 4 hours of sleep a night. You know, I'm inundated with people wanting to know what I'm doing and everything, and I just don't have time for it, you know. And I said, you guys aren't reporting everything that I'm asking you to do anyway, so you know, that's where I stand on that. I mean, it's like, you know, and I told him, I said, I guess I'm just going to have to do it all myself, you know, because I can't rely on you guys to do it.
Well,
I just scrolled down the wall, and on my personal Facebook page if you want to grab it, and because my internet is really messing up. I'm pulling this up on my other iPhone. I've got two of them. I got one for work and one for my personal one. The pictures were uploaded 2 hours ago, so if you can scroll back and find those, you can paste them on the Gulf Oil Spill page. But they took one of me standing in the middle of this huge, huge pile of oil and tar.
Well, I'll certainly repost those. I've gotten quite a few reactions from people I know here locally that are just disbelief and in awe that it could possibly be this bad. And there's such an overwhelming feeling of, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? So I certainly want to repeat your request to everyone to share this information with as many people as you can, as many times as you can. Our voices together are much stronger than anyone alone. We certainly support your work, Greg, and if you have any other requests, it's great that you got the kayak. Just please let us know what you need, okay?
Yeah. I'm sorry I had somebody at my door.
Okay.
they were joking with me. They were like, it's BP and the CIA.
All at once. I hope they brought more beer.
No, it was just the people that run the condo association over here because we left my door wide open.
So how many of your neighbors are still there?
Well, all the year-round people, you know, all the year-round people are here, so.
You haven't noticed anybody leaving yet?
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect that to happen soon?
Probably when they start hearing about some of the stuff that's going on everywhere else, you know.
Well, we'll look forward to you keeping us updated on that and the of your activities and travels tomorrow. I know that you've been a very busy man, and I'm sure you must be tired. We look forward to those real-time uploads from your iPhone as you explore the Gulf Coast tomorrow.
Well, you guys are going to get it all tomorrow. Like I said, these guys, I got a bunch of techies here. They're going to help me. They're actually going to help me edit my .mov files and string them together so we can upload some longer videos, and they're going to help me put some of the photographs into slideshows and stuff like that, too, so we're going to be able to do some cool stuff this weekend.
That's great. Everybody needs a techie.
Well, I mean, I've been marketing online for 14 years, but I'm not a tech guy, you know. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you. I mean, you know, to me, if I turn the computer on and it doesn't work, it's just a paperweight to me. I just as soon throw it out the window. So.
Well, the callers are saying that they're glad you're going out with company tomorrow, that you won't be by yourself. You'll be traveling with a crew, and they say travel well and stay safe.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys. You guys all have a good night, and we'll holler at you first thing in the morning.
Thanks so much, Greg. Sleep well.
Thank you, guys. And thanks, Emily.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
Well, callers, once again, we're glad that you joined us for the third edition of True Reporting on the Gulf Oil Spill, and we look forward to seeing you here again tomorrow night at 9 p.m. for more updates from Greg and the traveling news crew. Thank you. Good night.